This is Preeti Shekhar for Women's Magazine. I have on the line with me Moosa Kua, a human rights activist and former Minister of Women's Affairs in the Cambodian Parliament and a current member of the opposition. Welcome to our show, Sukua.
Thank you, Preeti.
So could you begin by giving us a little bit of a background on the current crisis that you are facing back home in Cambodia?
At this moment, I am in the United States, and I'm going back home tomorrow to face the court. What happened was that because I am a very outspoken member of parliament from the opposition party, from the Samrangsi party, and also because I have for a long time, for over 20 years, been very active in defending the women's rights, been very active in human trafficking, land issues, the powerful people taking away land from the farmers. So I am now the target of the government, especially the Prime Minister of Cambodia, because he wants to silence people like me from the opposition, as well as silencing all the members of parliament and activists who defend human rights. So in April of this year, the Prime Minister twisted the information, the truth, by saying that I am an inciter. I go around pushing people to raise issues against the government, that I go around grabbing men and I unbutton my shirt in public and so on, which is really not the truth. The truth is that during the electoral campaign in 2008, I caught a general who was using the military corps, which is a state corps, to campaign for his party. So I took a picture of his car, and he wanted to confront me, and he assaulted me, and my shirt was undone. I was half naked in public in the middle of this market. I sued the Prime Minister for calling me names, for twisting the truth. I took him to court. I sued him, and on the same day, he sued me. He sued my lawyer, and now I have already been charged for defamation, while my case against the Prime Minister who defamed me has been dismissed by the court. And my lawyer now is facing disbarment by the Cambodian Bar Association. This is all because now government, especially Prime Minister himself, is in control of all national institutions, in control of even the parliament, which is equivalent to the House of Representatives. The Prime Minister is using the court, the judiciary, as a tool to silence the opposition, to silence activists, to silence the media who is pro-democracy.
Could you speak a little bit about your own story?
After I graduated from high school, my mother, who only had 3 years of education, put me on an airplane and sent me to France. I did not stay in France. I came to America. I became a refugee like the rest of Cambodians who are outside of the United States. Then I worked with the Cambodian communities who were refugees themselves, and in the San Francisco Bay Area, I went to UC Berkeley at the School of Social Welfare, graduated in 1979 and 1981. I took the plane to go back to work with the refugees in Thailand. In 1989, I went back home after 18 years in exile. And I have been in Cambodia, active in Cambodia, since then for the past 20 years. So what I am going to do is to go back home and to stand trial, because Cambodia is my country, and I can only find justice by going through the court. But the court in Cambodia is a kangaroo court, but I don't have a choice. For sure, I will be charged. I will be found guilty, and I will have to pay a fine of $2,500. I will refuse, and I will go to prison. I refuse to pay the fine because paying the fine means accepting guilt. I have not committed any crime.
And Sukua, to give us a better sense of this crisis, could you also give us a little information about the current political backdrop of Cambodia?
Cambodia was a colony of the French in the 1900s, and then independence in 1953. from 1953 until the US 70s, Cambodia was a very peaceful country. And then we became a part of the sideshow of the Vietnam War. Then America bombed Cambodia. In 1975 to 1979, Cambodia fell in the hands of the Khmer Rouge, who are the extreme communists who want to start from zero and then bring Cambodia back to the farm, to the rice fields, to anyone who is found with educated, even wearing glasses, eyeglasses, and so on, were killed. My parents were killed as well. And then during that period, 1.7 million Cambodians at least were killed by the Khmer Rouge, who were Cambodians themselves, or they starved to death, such as the case of my parents. In 1991, the UN was able to bring together the parties in conflict and to sit down and sign the Paris Peace Accord. Then in 1993, we held the first democratic election that was supervised and funded by the United Nations. So the party in power, the Communist Party, lost the election and the Royalist Party won. I joined the Royalist Party. I won a seat in 1998 and I served the government with the Royalist Party as a Minister for Women's Affairs. And during that time, I led a very strong campaign, national campaign, to promote, to empower women. In 2004, I left the government and the Royalist Party because I could not live with the corruption in government. And then I joined the opposition party in 2004. In 2008, just recently, I campaigned and won my seat in parliament. I am still a member of parliament, although my parliamentary immunity was lifted, and I am now without immunity, which means the police can arrest me anytime, and that is the case, and it allows the court to charge me, and that is the case.
Could you speak to the status of women's rights in Cambodia and maybe a little history of the women's movement there?
The Cambodian women are in between. It is not a oppressed society. It's quite open, but at the same time, because of poverty, because of the economic situation, and also because of the strong oppression by the ruling party, has been in power for 30 years, the political situation is very, very difficult for those who want to speak out. The situation for women in Cambodia at this moment, because of poverty, talking about poverty alone, is a situation of really hard struggle. 36% of the families in Cambodia live below poverty line, which means that they make less than 50 cents a day. So majority of our families are headed by women. Women cannot afford to have checkups, maternal or pre or post care, childbirth. So we have children who are in extreme state of malnutrition, undernourished, and so on, because families cannot afford the health care. 40% of our women are still uneducated, illiterate. By the age of 8 to 9, our girls are pulled out of school because their parents are too poor. That's why we women in Cambodia are so exposed, so vulnerable. Current global economic crisis is another impact on the lives of our women. Mm-hmm. About 300,000 women workers in factories have actually worked for companies like Gap, Banana Republic, Nike, and so on. Who were making your shoes, your clothes, and so on, are now 30% of them, or 70,000 women in the garment factory, are out of work in the past 6 to 8 months. And these women are women from the rural part of Cambodia. These women are from age 18 to 25 with an average education of about 5 years. So the 70,000 women who are now out of work are now not willing to go back to the farm because there's nothing at home in the villages. So where do they go? They go where there is work. And where can they find work? Mostly because they're unskilled, then is in the entertainment industry. Exposure to sexual exploitation, rape, to physical sexual abuse, and so on. We have such a problem with human trafficking. We have such a problem with domestic violence. One out of five women in Cambodia is a victim of domestic violence. We have laws against domestic violence, which is a law that I drafted myself in 2005. We have laws against human trafficking. The problem is that implementation of law, rule of law, is not reality in Cambodia because of corruption.
If you could highlight how you've worked on the issue of trafficking, and I want to be very specific and talk about forced trafficking of women for both sex trafficking as well as labor trafficking. So, and I know Cambodia is a hotbed for trafficking. So could you give us a little bit of insight?
I was talking about poverty, and then when the families are so vulnerable, they sell the children or they give the children up to whoever promises work or education and so on. So actually people are tricked or people are so desperate that they give away their children or sell their children. That is the situation in Cambodia. Where do these children go? The market, the sex industry is a global market. The children in Cambodia, the women in Cambodia are sold and then transported outside of Cambodia to the neighboring countries such as Taiwan and Thailand and so on. That is for sexual exploitation. But it's also about labor exploitation, physical exploitation. When the women are so desperate, they go find work where there is work, and they usually go to Thailand because they can just cross the border.
Coming back to your own issue, could you focus on the current crisis that you're facing? How has the international, how has both the Cambodian media and also the international community highlighted this, and have they been of help to you?
What needs to be done is not just for the media to repeat this. We need the U.S. government to reassess its policy on Cambodia. U.S. sent $41 million to assist Cambodia every year. Most of this money, unfortunately, now is put to invest in reforming the military. This is wrong because the people who are most involved in human trafficking, in land grabbing, in corruption, are people, are the officials in the defense ministry in Cambodia. Why is the United States helping to reinforce the power of the military in Cambodia? That was from the Bush administration because of the issue of terrorism. That issue of terrorism, and I'm glad that the new administration under President Obama is reviewing it because of this so-called terrorism act. There are lives in country like Cambodia that are being destroyed because the assistance from the U.S. is not going on to the right place. We have to stop. I'm calling for the American people, especially the women in the United States, to call Secretary Hillary Clinton, call President Obama, and say, put the money, the $41 million, put it through civil society, non-governmental organizations, and take it away from the government until the government of Cambodia can fulfill its promises to the people of Cambodia, which is to be accountable and to support and to uphold human rights, democracy, and justice and equality.
Sakua, thanks for sharing all the action items, but is there a website where listeners can go and do something about this, especially the Cambodian community here in the U.S.?
Yes, I am very grateful to my Cambodian communities in the U.S., in Canada, in Australia, and so on, in Europe. They are reacting very, very fast. But please send this information on the website of Global Fund for Women, Vital Voices, Urgent Action Fund, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch. You Google my name, you will see that you have all the information. I am seeking also your assistance, your financial assistance, because I have to pay my legal fees, which are about $40,000. I have to also continue to help small organizations and women. They're all women's organizations that are helping to combat violence against women and to find employment to the 70,000 women who have lost their jobs because of the economic crisis.